All right, we'll continue our aspect of deacon training. Really, tonight's more on leadership in general. We'll talk about tonight biblical leadership. You have your handouts. It'll make it easy to go through this. We won't have to turn as much together to different pages in the Bible as I have all of that there with you. But I left some blanks for you to fill out, and I'll give a little commentary. But we'll go on tonight with our biblical leadership. Very, very important. Leadership is important in all aspects of life, whether it be from our president down, especially in our churches, and we see good pictures of that in the Word of God. But look at there, Roman number one, reasons why deacons are leaders. That's the Roman number one we'll look at tonight, reasons why deacons are leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 3, you've got that text there, we'll read that. But letter A, deacons are leaders because the spiritual qualifications demand it. The spiritual qualification of a deacon demand leadership. Let's look at this. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given too much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their household well, for they have used the office of a deacon well, purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Deacons are leaders because the spiritual qualifications demand it. So important. Well, I'll get more into that later. I don't want to go ahead and move on. Letter B, deacons are leaders because they serve as extensions of the pastor. They are to be leaders, and I am so grateful to have men in our church from all aspects of life, not just our deacons, but the other men in the church that desire not only to be a blessing and help and encouragement to their pastors leading another area. We have done a lot over the last 2.5 months, but I need you to understand something. I didn't do it myself. We did it. We worked together. We prayed together. We went through things. We discussed things. And many of the things we've done around the church, we've worked and we've labored together. I think too often sometimes I get too much credit. But still, nonetheless, it's a blessing to have men and ladies willing to be involved. Deacons are leaders because they serve an extension. Acts 6, 2 and 3. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Of course, we dealt with that a little more in depth last week. But we are a church, but we still have business to carry out. And we need to remind ourselves sometimes it is a ministry, but things need to be done in order and in the right fashion, in a business fashion at times. Letter C. Deacons are leaders because they constantly work with people, here we go, and people need godly examples to follow. Amen? We need, especially young Christians, new families coming in, those that have never been discipled, they need to be able to look to mentors, men and women who are strong in the faith. And I may use the masculine word here often, but it's also we need good ladies in church also willing to lead and to teach and set the godly example there in the church. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Good leaders are also followers, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But deacons are leaders because they constantly work with people, and people need godly examples to follow. We always have somebody watching and observing our life. We always have somebody taking notes, and we have to ask ourselves, is it good or is it negative? Is it bad? But people are observing and watching how we conduct ourselves, how we treat one another, how we treat the pastor, the deacons, and even those who are working and laboring here at the church. And it's always a good example to realize that we are leader of men, leaders of women. Roman numeral number two, not only reasons why deacons are leaders, but biblical principles tonight we'll look at relating to leadership. And we'll look at a couple examples of biblical principles relating to leadership. Letter A. A good leader is first a good follower. A good leader is first a good follower. 1 Timothy 3:10, that first section. Let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Now, we've got a couple passages here of Scripture and a couple examples. Joshua's illustration of this principle. Joshua just didn't grow into being a leader one day. He learned to follow. He learned to follow those ahead of him. He was in command, he was in lead, and he advanced through the ranks as being as far as the children of Israel. But he first was a good example of following. Notice here Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. He had many years in following and learning from Moses. He was a follower first and then a leader. Even with our military, you learned first to take orders before you ever give orders. And it's good to learn to realize that there's always somebody over us. There's always a pecking order. There's always a system. But we always remember that the Lord is over all. And as we talked about before, with the Lord, the pastor, deacons, and then it goes down through the church and back up. We set up our deacon care group for that purpose, getting some good feedback from that. And is that leaders and followers, but in many aspects, even though we may be followers, we also must realize along the line, we're also leading others at the same time. You can follow and lead simultaneously. Elijah is another good example. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning of verse number 12. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah and that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves in the ground before him. Again, two good examples where men were followers and learned to become leaders. Again, a pattern example in the Word of God. Letter B, a good leader is dependable and faithful. And again, now let me remind you, we're going through this aspect of deacons and pastor qualifications and leadership because as we grow and as we move forward, well, we want to be able to set aside others who will be involved in leadership. We talked about the DIT program, deacons in training, those that have the qualifications, those that have the potential gifts that can work with pastor and deacons to step into later that position. And that all aspect is good for us to know about leadership and those qualities that we see in other men in our church. A good leader is dependable and faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Those that are not only faithful in following, but faithful in service. Again, so encouraging to have families that are faithful, and we'll see that number grow. We've got several out tonight. But still yet is that aspect of faithfulness. And they learn that by example. Learn that from seeing us, our faithfulness, and our involvement. Letter C. A good leader is concerned about three aspects of his life. A good leader, again, he or she, is concerned about three aspects of his life. I'm sure there's others, but here are three to consider. Number one, his spiritual life. That's something that we need to be very concerned about, our walk, our relationship with the Lord that we talked about, to be spirit-filled, be spiritually clean, and being diligent in and study the Word of God. So how is our spiritual life? If we're going to be a good leader, we're going to set the example, and as we follow those who lead us, and we are leading, also leading others, how are we doing in that spirit-filled life? Number two, his physical life. Being clean and being neat. You know, I think as a leader, we should represent ourselves, as I mentioned last week, I won't go into a lot of detail, as being professional as we can. Being alert, being aware, realizing that God has a desire that I need to keep myself clean spiritually, but also the physical life. That involves in guarding our testimony as well, places that we go, the things that we do. Number three, not only his spiritual life and his physical life, but his mental or emotional life. We talked about this a little bit last week, but being joyful in the Lord. One thing about our mental and emotional life that will help us is that relationship with the Lord, but also sharing and talking about that relationship with the Lord. being joyful in the Lord. Sometimes, as I mentioned this past week, we may have to, I hate to use the word fake it, but you know, we may not feel well physically, but our joy is not based on our happenings around us. It's based on our joy that we have in Christ. Being joyful in the Lord, being ready to serve, being positive about the church and ministry. Nobody wants to go to the church that everyone dreads to go to. Nobody wants to go to the church where we don't talk good about it. I remember, I'll say this in passing, I'm going to go on. I'll never forget this as a teenager. I just surrendered my life to the Lord. I was saved, I've been baptized, but I wasn't serious about serving God. But I wanted to get serious about serving the Lord. A college and career gentleman in the church invited me home with his family for lunch. I kind of looked up to him. We both played ball, and he was going off to college playing baseball on a scholarship. You know, here I am in high school making a decision my sophomore, junior year to serve the Lord, and here's a guy that I thought might would be a mentor, and he wasn't. I found out real quick. On the way home after service, as soon as we got out of the parking lot, the first thing that was said was, well, the preacher sure carried the message today, didn't he? And I thought to myself, well, that's not the type of example I want. And it was like they had grilled preacher all the way home. It was the most uncomfortable afternoon I ever had as a 16, 17-year-old kid that wanted to serve the Lord. We need to be positive, optimistic about the church, about the ministry, things that are going on, and pray for one another. Letter D, a good leader is constantly seeking ways to improve his or her service and ministry. Are we still growing? Brother Ken, how long have you been playing bocce? Is there room for improvement? Okay. That's right. And it's the same thing with our Christian life. There's always room for improvement. There's always new techniques in farming, isn't there? There's always things to learn, things to know, things to study. And we need to realize that as believers, that we are to have a desire to continue to seek ways to grow and to improve our service for the Lord. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Back there in those middle of those verses, this one thing I do, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the prize mark for the prize of the high calling. Are we doing our best? Are we striving to be better leaders, better Christians, better followers? And if you ask yourself, and as I mentioned, I guess last week or the week before, one of my routines on Monday morning after the service is once I get up and get all the boogers out of my eyes and have my cup of coffee is in my office and have my devotions, then I go to my desk and I pull out my Bible and I go over my notes from Sunday morning. I'll go over my notes from Sunday night. I often, not always, I'll write down the attendance, decisions that were made, and go over and think about the service, how things went. When I meet with the deacons, that's always something I always bring up. How are things going? How are the services going? How are the people responding? And knowing, what can we do better? What can I do better? Is there anything I said that I could have said better? Or think something maybe I need to dwell on and prepare another sermon on, another study on? Because I want to get better. I want to improve. And we all should strive for that in that area. Lord, how did I do this week on Friday? Lord, when's the last time you asked the Lord, did I miss an opportunity to witness to somebody because I was too preoccupied with something else? Did I look for the opportunities to be friendly, to invite someone to church, or just smile and say hello? Ask, always looking for a way to improve as leaders. A good leader is constantly seeking ways to improve his service and ministry. Letter E, a good leader is controlled. A good leader is controlled. Several passages of scripture here. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Proverbs 25:28. He that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. 1 Corinthians 9:27. but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Again, a good leader is controlled. So often, we're a little bit older now, a little bit tougher when we were younger, but to be measured, to think through things that we say. I don't know how many times in my life that I've said something I so wish I could have reached out and pulled it back in. But be measured. Think before we act. Think before we respond. Be in control. Letter F. A good leader like Nehemiah takes the initiative. And I've got a section of scripture here I want to read and give you a little background. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. A good leader like Nehemiah takes initiative. I was taught, have you ever been scolded by a parent or aunt or uncle because you walked by something that needed to be taken care of? We've been scolded for a lot of things. But I tell you what, the one thing I learned, if there's something on the ground or trash somewhere else, my dad would get all over me if I walked by it. Yeah, Margo does the same. Yeah, she's on you all the time, isn't she? Pick up those clothes, Daryl. Put them in that clothes hamper. Don't just throw them on the floor. But yeah. Initiative. If something needs to be done, sometimes you don't have to go tell the pastor. Something needs to be done, sometimes you can just do it. I mean, I'm not kidding. I was helping a church one time that were so in disarray, no leadership at all, that the toilet was running. Instead of fixing me, he called me to let me know. So I asked him, how many gallons do you think has ran through that toilet since before you could call me? He said, go over there, jiggle the handle, take the lid off, I'll meet you at the church in a few minutes. You know, there's some things we just need to take initiative on. It's not something that's going to interfere or mess up anything. Just take care of it. And then maybe you mention it later. Hey, by the way, pastor, one of the deacons, I noticed something, I thought I'd take care of it. And one of the men tonight came by and said, hey, preacher, you know, that circuit breaker box out there doesn't have a lock or anything on it. It'd be easy for some kid just to come through. He goes, and so he said, I think I'm just going to pick up a little cheap lock and put it on it. Who do you want me to give the key to? No, just little things that we just see that might need to be taken care of and we take care of. And sometimes we do things and we don't really need to let anybody know because the Lord already knows. But it just needs to be taken care of. Nehemiah 2, verse 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. And when Sanballat and Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Amorite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Now, getting some background in that passage of scripture, Sanballat was a governor of Samaria, and he was not thrilled about a strong region because Samaria was a rival of Judah. So Nehemiah will always be associated with a successful rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. He is one of the greatest leaders in the Bible. He got men to do things that had not been done in generations, and he was able to keep them going despite difficult circumstances that they were going through and the opposition from the enemy. His administration as governor of Judah revealed his leadership skills. He was so unselfish that he refused to tax the people, which made him an unusual leader. He was also a godly man of character and a man of prayer. He did not tolerate evil, and his forceful punishment of evil was not appreciated by the crowd that is soft on sin as our day today. Nehemiah curtailed evil in society, which is not being done in our land today. He took initiative of things that need to be done, did things that maybe had never done before or thought of, but he led in that. Nehemiah identified the need. He crystallized or brought to clarity the problem. He came up with a solution. He delegated responsibility, and he worked alongside of the people. And this happens often here with us when I meet with the deacons and the trustees or the deacon and other men. Just the other day, we were talking about some things on their property. And what do? We identified the need. We made sure that we understood the need and what could take place, what we needed to do. We came up with a solution. Actually, we came up with several solutions and had to decide what was the best one. And then the authority, the delegation was given out. We delegated authority to the things that need to be done, that the people that can handle it, and then we work alongside the people to get it done. And that's so often the same thing that is involved in a church. It is not, again, it's not the one man horse and pony show, but it's a congregation working together. I call on other men and other people in the church on their knowledge and what they've done in the past. We've got some things that are coming up in our church, and I know that I can talk to people that have got a business background. Brother Daryl has an engineering background. The Molos have an insurance background. Others have had other experience in working in office and other aspects, and we talk, and I ask them questions or insight. Brother Smith, he's a grammar whiz in writing, you know. He probably cringes at times when he hears me preach, because I know that I butcher the English at times. But if I don't have a problem asking for help and asking other people their views and their thoughts and what's the best way to go about that, because I don't need to carry all that weight. In Nehemiah the same, he delegated that authority. He got much accomplished using the strength of other men and women within his force. And the same thing should be done in our churches. Letter G, a good leader strengthens others. Acts chapter 27 and verses 22 and 25. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told of me. Here, talking about the Apostle Paul, a good leader strengthens others. No matter how glim it looks, how rough it looks, or how bad it looks, we need to ask ourselves, what's on the good side? What's coming around the corner? How things can be improved. And that is, a good leader strengthens others and at times encourages. I am not a theologian. I am not a scholar. But I am a decent motivator and cheerleader. And I know I've been commented and complimented on my zeal and my excitement. And that's a gift that I have. But there's other things that I don't. And is why I ask others to get their input. And it's important as we work together in doing these things, and then we need to be of good cheer. I don't know about you folks, but if I'm going to be honest with you, I see a whole lot more smiling faces these days than I did the very first time I preached here. And that comes with not just leadership with the pastor, but also down within our ranks as well. A good leader strengthens others. Now, we'll close out with a couple thoughts here, and then next time we'll look at serving as an effective servant. Not just leaders, but an effective servant. There are three kinds of people in the world. I'm sure there's more than that. There's also another phrase I can say, there's two types of people in the world. Those that are saved and those who need to be saved. But this is in retrospect in leadership. Those who don't know what's happening. Those who watch what is happening. Those are the government workers, right? So those who don't know what is happening, those who watch what is happening. Number three, those who make things happen. Nehemiah was used of God to make things happen. And deacons, pastors, leaders make things happen. Sometimes it doesn't go at the pace we want. But as I mentioned before, my goal is to get over there. Sometimes I want to run, but the reality is sometimes the Lord says walk. Sometimes I feel like I go forward and I might take a step back, sometimes two steps back, and then I'm able to go forward before. But the key is moving in the same direction together with the same goal, and that's also part of leadership as we work together. Again, those who don't know what's happening, those who watch what's happening, and that's what happens in most of our churches. Statistics say less than 10% of the body does 100% of the work. And that's why I work so hard at getting more people involved. I'm not afraid to go to you and ask you, you know, what do you do? How can we get you involved? Because I think it's important that we're involved. And those who make things happen, again, Nehemiah being that type of a leader. All right, we'll stop there for tonight. And before we pray, I just want to say thanks again, once again, for all your help and your prayer support and your encouragement. I don't know about you, but I'm still excited. Amen? I'm still excited. Looking forward to bigger days, better days ahead of us, and trusting the Lord to continue to bring people in. And I'm still wondering, and you pray for me, how much am I going to slow down when the heat sets in? I won't have to worry about it in here. At least we're temperature controlled, but I know out there it'll probably slow me down, but I hope it doesn't slow me down too much. Well, let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask God's blessing. Brother Cherry, why don't you dismiss us in prayer if you would. As always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be a help to you, please don't hesitate to ask. Deacons, if I can see you just for 2 minutes, I promise it'll be that or less. You're dismissed.